All right. Hare Krishna. Today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 15, text number 33. This chapter is called as The Pandavas Retire Timely. Pandavas Retire Timely.
Prithapi anushrutya dhananjayoditam. Nasham yadunam bhagavat gatim chatam. Ekanta bhaktya bhagavatya dokshade. Tatmo pararama samsriteha.
Pritha, Kunti, Api, also, Anushrutya, overhearing, Dhananjaya, Arjuna, Uditam, uttered by, Nasam, and Yadunam, of the Yadu dynasty. Bhagavat, of the personality of Godhead. Gatim, disappearance. Cha, also. Tam, all those. Eka anta, unalloyed. Bhaktya, devotion. Bhagavati, unto the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. Adokshaje, transcendence. Niveshita Atma, with full attention. Upara Rama, became released from. Samsrite, material existence. Translation. Kunti, after overhearing Arjuna's telling of the end of the Yadu dynasty and disappearance of Lord Krishna, engaged in the devotional service of the transcendental personality of Godhead with full attention and thus gained release from the course of material existence. Read it once again. Kunti, after overhearing Arjuna's telling of the end of the Yadu dynasty and disappearance of Lord Krishna, engaged in the devotional service of the transcendental personality of Godhead with full attention, thus gained release from the course of material existence. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The setting of the sun does not mean the end of the sun. The setting of the sun does not mean the end of the sun. It means that the sun is out of our sight. Similarly, the end of the mission of the Lord on a particular planet or universe only means that he is out of our sight. The end of the Yadu dynasty also does not mean that it is annihilated. It disappears along with the Lord out of our sight. As Maharaj Yudhishthira decided to prepare to go back to Godhead, so also Kunti decided. And thus she fully engaged herself in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, which guarantees one a passport for going back to Godhead after quitting this present material body. The beginning of devotional service to the Lord, is the beginning of spiritualizing the present body. And thus, an unalloyed devotee of the Lord loses all material contact in the present body. I'll repeat this. And thus, an unalloyed devotee of the Lord loses all material contact even in the present body. The abode of the Lord is not a myth. the abode of the Lord is not a myth, as is thought by the unbelievers or ignorant people. But one cannot reach there by any material means. One cannot reach the abode of the Lord by any material means, like a Sputnik or space capsule. But one can certainly reach there after leaving this present body, and one must prepare himself to go back to Godhead by practicing devotional service. One must prepare himself to go back to Godhead by practicing devotional service. That guarantees a passport for going back to Godhead, and Kunti adopted it.
Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatripa Tambaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Tripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Namaskritya
Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam
Tato
Jayamudhiraye
Nashta
Prayeshu Abhadreshu
Nityam
Bhagavata Sevaya
Bhagavati
Uttamashloke
Bhavatir Naishtiki
Hare Krishna. So this chapter from Canto 1, Chapter 15, Text 33 is titled as The Pandavas Retire Timely. Kunti, after overhearing Arjuna's telling of the end of the Yadu dynasty and disappearance of Lord Krishna, engaged in the devotional service of the transcendental personality of Godhead with full attention, and thus gained release from the course of material existence. So, the context of this particular verse, before we come to the theme of this particular verse, the context is that Arjuna has come back from Dwarka and he is meeting Maharaj Yudhishthira and the rest of the Pandavas. And when Yudhishthira sees Arjuna, in fact, even before he sees Arjuna, Maharaj Yudhishthira is getting all kinds of signals in the form of bad omens, which indicate that there is something which is not very good for this world. And what is that event? The disappearance of Lord Krishna back to the spiritual world. So when Arjuna comes, Maharaj Yudhishthira is in some anxiety, trying to understand why he is perceiving all these omens. And then when Arjuna comes, Maharaj Yudhishthira asks him so many questions. How is this personality? How is that personality? How was your yatra? So many questions he asks him. And then finally, Arjuna reveals to Yudhishthira in the course of this conversation that the Yadu dynasty they have fought amongst themselves and they have quit this material world, and Lord Krishna has also wound up his pastimes and then returned to the spiritual world. The moment Maharaj Yudhishthira hears that, immediately there is a decision which Maharaj Yudhishthira takes. Not only Maharaj Yudhishthira, but if you see this chapter in sequence, everyone is taking this decision. Arjuna is taking this decision, Maharaj Yudhishthira is taking this decision, and now in this verse Kunti Maharani is taking that decision. What is that decision? To retire timely. They are taking a decision to retire timely. And what does Kunti Maharani want to do during this retirement? She wants to fully dedicate the retired life to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now there are two themes which are coming across in this particular section of Srimad Bhagavatam, and also in the set of two verses, this verse and yesterday's verse, which Bhakta Prabhu very nicely commented on. The first theme is, and from Srila Prabhupada's purport also it's very evident, Srila Prabhupada is trying to get across the point into our heads that the appearance and disappearance of Lord Krishna is not ordinary. It's not like the appearance of this and disappearance of any mundane personality. The appearance and disappearance of Lord Krishna has got some specific characteristics. And if we don't understand these characteristics, or let me put it the other way, as long as we don't understand these characteristics, there is no question of us developing the quality of Shravanam and Smaranam, hearing and remembrance of the Lord, that makes it possible for one to get detached from this material world and then to take a decision based on that platform that now I will engage in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So without the understanding of the characteristics, the transcendental nature of the activities and pastimes of the Lord, it is not possible to develop that kind of detachment from this material world and to engage in serving the Lord. So what are these characteristics? So this is the first theme. The second theme is the question of retirement. The Pandavas are taking decision and retiring. So understanding the transcendental nature and appearance of the Lord is one theme. The other theme is, based on that, then taking a decision to retire and to engage in full-time service of the Personality of Godhead. So let us discuss these two themes in today's class. So the first one, what are the characteristics of the Lord's appearance and disappearance? So there are 5 or 6 points that come across in reading the Srimad Bhagavatam. The first point is that the Lord is Aja. Aja means unborn. The Lord has not taken birth from any other mundane personality, nor is the Lord a product of material nature. It's quite the opposite. Material nature is a product of the Personality of Godhead, but not the other way. But the Lord is unborn. Now where is the Shastra Praman for this? It is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam very vividly in Canto 2 in the 9th chapter, beginning from verses 33 onwards. These set of verses are called as the Chatushloki of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Chatushloki is the emperor verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. There are four verses which are given in this chapter. Now what's happening there in that context is Lord Brahma has appeared on the lotus flower and he doesn't know what to do now. He's confused. Okay, I'm there in the lotus flower now and everywhere it's dark. He looks over here and there. He can't find anything. There is no direction. What to do? Right? And then he says, okay, let me find out what is the source of all this creation and let me get some instructions on what I'm supposed to do. So he goes down through the stem to take darshan of Garbhodaksha Vishnu. Of course, he doesn't know that there is a stem he is going down from and there is Garbhodaksha Vishnu. But he goes down to find out where is the truth. But he travels like that for a long, long time and he doesn't get anywhere. So Srila Prabhupada writes in this purport, if you remember. What does Srila Prabhupada say? Anyone remembers the purport? What is the connection? We cannot attain the Supreme Personality of Godhead through Sputnik or what? Space capsules. So just by astral travel, we can't understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Brahma was much faster than Sputnik rocket. Right? So still he traveled for many, many years. Our Sputnik rocket will, after some time it will collapse. And the NASA has to find out where to put it now. Pacific Ocean or Atlantic Ocean. But Brahma doesn't have that problem. He goes down and then he comes up. But he still can't find the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he hears the waters of the river giving the message, Tapa means what? Austerity. Okay, perform austerity. And then Brahmaji performs that austerity. And then after the perfection of that austerity, Lord Krishna appears in the 400 form in this section. There are other sections where Lord Krishna is also appearing in the 200 form. But in this section, in chapter 2, it is mentioned that he has darshan of Vaikuntha Narayana after that. So the Lord appears in front of him and then the Lord in his instructions to Brahmaji, the Lord says this famous verse, Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.33, which form the Chatushloki of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Lord says, Aham evasam evagre, nanyad yat sad asat param, paschad aham eva etachcha, yaha avashishyata so asmi aham. Which means that Brahma, please understand, it is I, the personality of Godhead, who was existing before this creation. It is I who was existing before this creation. When there was nothing but myself. Nor was there this material nature that you see. Material nature was also not there. It was only I who was there, the cause of this creation. That which you see now is also I, the personality of Godhead. And after everything is destroyed, whatever remains will also be I, the personality of Godhead. So Lord is clearly declaring that at the end of the day, I am the only Supreme Absolute Truth. Everything else is a manifestation of mine. So, in my office, 3-4 weeks back, I was talking to one of my counterparts at lunchtime, and he was telling me, Jagat, I am an atheist. I don't believe in God. I am a follower of Periyar Swami. So I was googling, who is this Periyar Swami? So apparently this person is an atheist from South India. Right? There is a bridge also named in Tamil Nadu, in Madras, Periyar Bridge. Okay. That was rascal number one. Okay. So he said, I'm a follower of that. Then I said, oh, okay, you're an atheist. Okay. I said, I believe in God. I said, when you think of, I believe that behind this digestive system, behind this nervous system, food is put in the stomach, food is put in the mouth, and then it goes into the stomach, it comes out, and then there is a respiratory system, and blah, 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 All this is not by chance. It's not by chance that there is thirst and then there is, by chance there is water. By chance there is hunger and by chance there is an apple fruit. No. So I went on that usual science of self-realization class. So then he said, no, I understand. I asked him, if you see a nice Rolls Royce car, will you think that it just appeared like that? No, there is an organization behind that, he said. Yes, that's the same thing I'm also saying. But behind an organization, there's an organization, just you put a building, let's say Dhirubhai Ambani. No, forget, sorry, there is no Dhirubhai Ambani. There is a building incidentally called as Reliance, which has come, and incidentally there are some projects which are being executed, and incidentally, petrochemicals are being transformed into products. Is all that possible? No. There is a personality. Ambani created it, he said. So I said, yeah, same thing I am also saying. This whole cosmic creation, there is a personality behind that. Right? But somebody created Dhirubhai Ambani also. Yeah, his parents. He said, who is Bhagavan? Then you go back that way, the original parent, that we call as Supreme Personality of Godhead. But there is a personality. You agree to that? Of course, he did not have any argument that later. But then he said, no, but all whatever you are saying is okay. But I think nature has created everything. That was his conclusion after all this lecture. And then, the offense to the holy name is what? Preaching to a faithless person. Before my faith could be shaken, I moved out from there. So next time I will not do that. So now I am talking to him about, how Maria Sharapova lost. And then he is very happy with that. So, this is the problem. So people think that material nature is the cause of creation. And in the Chatushloki, the Lord clearly says, when there was nothing but myself, nor was there this material nature. That's why Prabhupada is writing in that purport. For people like him, Prabhupada is writing here, nor was this material nature. Because this is a very big misconception that from Prakriti Bhagavan has come. No. Prakriti is a product of the inferior energy of Bhagavan. This has to be understood. But the Lord is Aja. He is not created. Everything else is created. So first aspect is that. The second aspect is that the Lord is Swarat. Swarat means what? Independent. The Lord does not depend on His creation on something else. The Lord appears by His own sweet free will. Not by somebody else's free will. Nor is He subjugated by the laws of material nature to appear in this world. Now, all of us know that there are three features of the personality of Godhead. Vedantita tattva vidas, tattvam yajnanam advayam, brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaneti shabjate. So there are three features of the Lord. Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. The impersonal feature of the Lord, the localized feature of the Lord and the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. Now the Mayavadis also have access to this particular shloka. But how they misinterpret that, and Prabhupada writes this very beautifully in the purport, in the Bhagavad Gita second chapter. Prabhupada writes that the Mayavadi thinks that form comes from the formless. The Mayavadi thinks that form comes from formless. Everything else is impersonal. The absolute truth is ultimately impersonal. But when the impersonal comes in contact with the Mahatattva, which is the primeval cosmic matter, substance, Pradhana and Mahatattva, when it comes in contact, then it takes a material form. Right? Now, that material form which that impersonal absolute has taken, you call it Rama, you call it Krishna, call it Jagannath Ram, call it Johnny. Same. Everything is same. Therefore, you are God. You are also God. I am also God. You are also God. Because everything has come from Brahman, and when Brahman comes in contact with the three modes of material nature, all of us take forms. Then the question remains, then why is someone Krishna and why is not someone Krishna? That depends, because Krishna is the ultimate manifestation of full Brahman. That's why he is able to exhibit so many things which you and I are not able to exhibit. But you and I are also God. Eventually when you realize you are Brahman, you also exhibit those things. You can also live Govardhan Hill. This is rascal philosophy. Right? But the Lord in Bhagavad Gita defeats the philosophy by saying that Brahmanohi Pratishtha Aham. He says that I am the foundation of the undifferentiated Brahman. He says that. He never says that Brahman is the source of the undifferentiated I. He doesn't say that. Right? So these Mayavadis they want to kill Krishna. Yesterday, Vrajakrishna Prabhu gave a very beautiful class in Milpark program. And Vrajakrishna Prabhu was telling about his life story. He mentioned that when he had access to the Mahabharata in Bulgaria, was it?
Yeah.
He went to a library and out of thousands and thousands of books, he picked up the Mahabharata coincidentally. And he was seeing the hand of the Lord in that, which is very true. But it was titled not as Mahabharata, it was titled as the fairy tales of India or something like that. And after many years, when he opened the book, he read that and it was very interesting. Mahabharata is very interesting as a story. But then when after becoming a devotee, when he went back to the same book and saw, he looked for the word Krishna and he said he never found that. Entire Mahabharata was there, but no Krishna was there. So Prabhuji enlightened all of us that the Mayavadis kill Krishna. They remove Krishna from the, they remove the source of that, of the whole pastime. Right? So we have to understand that the Lord is Swarat. He is not subjugated by material nature for his appearance. He is the controller. From him everything is coming. So we talked about Aja, we talked about Swarat. The Lord, the third feature of his appearance and disappearance is that it is, he is Nityam. His appearance and disappearance is Nityam. What is Nityam? Eternal. It's not that the Lord's pastimes have ended and we'll say, okay, thank you very much, see you all next week now. Some new episodes. No, it's not like that. There is no break in the pastimes. It's eternally going on. And it is mentioned that billions and billions of universes are coming out from his pores, and in every single material universe, in some material universe there is Satya Yuga going on, somewhere it's Treta Yuga. At this point in time, Krishna is being born in some universe, somewhere. So there is never a time that Lord Krishna is not enacting his pastimes, or his pastime is in the past. It's never like that in the total realm of the universe, both material and spiritual. So it is Nityam, and that is why Srila Prabhupada is giving this analogy of the sun. Just because the sun has set, we conclude that the sun has set. But actually there is nothing called as the sun setting. It's a perception from our earth planet that the sun has set. But the sun is always shining. I can't see it, but doesn't mean that it has set. My perception of material time is based on sunlight. Whether you use a watch or whether you use a sundial, the basis of our perception of time is the appearance and disappearance of the sun. But if you see, then if that is the basis, the whole material time has got no meaning. Because the sun always exists. So where is the question of material time then? Right? So this is the analogy that Prabhupada is bringing, you know, very nicely in this purport. So the Lord's pastimes are Nityam. It is only we who can't, who sometimes can see it and who sometimes can't see it. Being conditioned, we usually don't see it. That's a different matter. But sometimes even the saintly personality, sometimes Lord Krishna appears and sometimes he goes away. Like that, just to increase their anchoring for them. So, Aja, Swarat and Nityam. Three characteristics of the appearance and disappearance of the Lord. Then the fourth characteristic is that the Lord's pastimes are Divyam, which means they are transcendental in nature. The Lord's pastimes defy all material laws. They are not in accordance. You can't fit the Lord's pastime into some paradigm or some material combinations or material rules. So it's transcendental. For example, the Lord can take any form. The Lord, if he wants, he can take the form of a hog also. We see in the Varaha incarnation, the Lord is taking the form of a hog, right? And then he goes down into the ocean, and then when he comes out, he's shaking his body like this. So the waters are, you know, he's getting out of the water. And then normally when a pig starts shaking its body, in India you will find more. You know, in Australia we don't find many. But in India you will find ample. Right? They will go into the gutter and, you know, let me not say what they eat. But they come out and then they shake their body, you will run away from them. Saying that, oh God, where did I come? Right? But when the Lord appears, takes the form of Varaha, and when he is doing the same thing, the demigods and Devi Devatas are coming for a drop of that water. Which means the Lord taking the form of a hog is not the same as the material hog. Otherwise why will the Devatas come down to take a drop of that? Right? So he can take any form, not subjugated by material laws. Again he can go back to his spiritual form. And what to speak of going back, he can exist simultaneously in all those forms. It's not that he has now taken one form, now he has to do some Ashtanga Yoga to go back to his original form, chant some mantras. No, it doesn't work like that. Right? So he's transcendental. Or take the form of Narsimhadev. Half animal, half man. So Lord Narsimhadev is not a product of technology which has advanced and some cross breeding has happened between a lion and man, and you know, therefore, you know, in the laboratory they have. No. He has just appeared like that. Right? So it's transcendental, Divyam. In fact, before Lord Krishna reveals this shloka, the one which I mentioned earlier, 2.9.33. The verse before that, 2.9.32, the Lord is explaining to Brahma that whatever I am going to tell you and my pastimes, you can only understand by my mercy. So please understand, I am going to reveal everything to you, but please don't forget that I revealed it to you. Don't become proud later on. Because Brahma is also asking the Lord earlier in the verse, Lord, you have given me such a onerous task of creating this material world, and then please bless me that I don't get proud. Lord says, don't worry, I will give you the instruction. Don't worry, always remember that it is I who created all these things. And after everything is annihilated, including yourself, then it is only I who will exist. So don't, if you constantly remember this, you will not get proud. Like that. So the Lord can take any form. He can appear at any place. Whether the place is small, whether the place is big, no problem. He can enter anywhere. So in the same Chatushloki, the Lord says, Yata mahanti bhutani bhuteshu chava cheshvanu pravishthani apravishthani tatha teshu na teshvaham. This is the third verse of the Chatushloki of Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, my dear Brahma, I can enter into even the atomic particle. So I can enter into the atomic particle which is very small, and I can remain in a very small form inside the atom, and simultaneously I remain outside also, controlling the size of the universe. So I am so big that I can control the whole universe, and I am so small that I can go inside the atom and I can move those electrons inside that atom. There is no battery inside the atom. Right? Electrons are rotating around the orbit, around the nucleus. No battery is there. The Lord is entering. It is the power of sankarshan that makes all this, keeps all this in order. At the same time, coming outside, then the whole solar system is rotating. Right? So he can take any size and any form. Nothing is too big or too small. As Vamandev, he covered all the three worlds. So that is the size he can take. He can appear at any time also. He can take any form. He can arrive at any place. And he can arrive at any time. So he, again, Narasimhadev passed him. He chose a time when there is neither daylight nor, neither night time. So he can appear in twilight. So he can appear with regularity, and he can appear with irregularity also. Right? This is an irregular appearance of the Lord, Narasimhadev, based on to perform a specific leela to save his devotee. Right? And he can appear regular way also. Like for example, the Lord has got the Manvantara incarnations. That the Manvantaras appear on a regular basis, on a predictable basis in this universe. So there is no constraint. He can do anything. And the Lord can appear with varied potencies. The Lord can come himself as Swayam Bhagavan, or he can come as one of his Amsha. So Amsha or Vibhinna Amsha. Into his many expansions, part and parcel of his expansions. In fact, this morning Yamanalila was telling me about Maharaj Prithu. Please correct me if I am wrong, but I had to remember it 10 times. Still I forgot it now. Okay. Maharaj Prithu is the incarnation of the expansion of the plenary portion of the Lord. Okay, and it took me a while to understand this. I had to ask her 5 times. She got irritated with me this morning. Just imagine. He is the incarnation of the expansion of the plenary portion of the Lord. So you can imagine. And then Maharaj Prithu was so great. Just a small personality from that point of view, but such a big personality yet from our point of view, right? So he can appear with varied potencies. In fact, the Lord, it is mentioned that Maharaj Prithu was the incarnation of the ruling force of the Lord. So there is a specific portfolio that, you know, Lord wants Maharaj Prithu to handle, and then he gives him that particular talent and abilities to be able to do so, like that. Same with some of the Shakti Avesh Avataras. Specific potency is vested with Narad Muni to preach the message of the Narayana Bhakti. Like that. So we were talking that Lord is Aja. Aja means unborn. The Lord is Swarat, independent. His pastimes are Nityam, which is eternal. His pastimes are Divyam, which is transcendental. And under Divyam, we saw that he can appear in any form, any place, any time, and with varied potencies. The fifth aspect of Lord's appearance and disappearance is, the Lord's appearance and disappearance has got many purposes to fulfill. There are three purposes which he anyway gives in the Bhagavad Gita. What are the three purposes? Paritranaya sadhunam,
protect the devotees, vinashayacha duskritam, to annihilate the miscreants, and dharma samsthapanarthaya, to establish the tenets or principles of religion. There are three reasons why the Lord appears. Now, again, talking of the Lord appearing in so many forms, to protect the devotees, he can appear in so many forms. Again, not only to annihilate the miscreants. So the Lord has appeared in so many forms to uphold devotional principles. For example, Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Devotion talks about the five most potent items of bhakti. What are the five most potent items? Chanting the holy name, then associating with devotees, then Bhagavat Shravan, then Sri Murti Sevaya, deity worship, and Mathuravas, residing in a holy place. These are the five most potent items that Rupa Goswami is enunciating in the Nectar of Devotion. So the Lord fulfills all this. He appears in the form of the holy name. Kali Kale Nama Rupa Krishna Avatar. So he's appearing and wasting all his energies in the holy name. So Prabhuji was reading the Shikshashtakam. Oh my Lord, you have invested all your energies in the holy names, but I have no attraction for them. So he's appearing in the form of the holy name with full potency. The Lord, for giving us association, appears in the form of his own devotee, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to give association of a pure devotee. Right? He appears to fulfill Bhagavat Shravan. He appears in the form of the book Bhagavatam. Krishna Swadhama Upagate Dharma Jnana Adibisaha Kalo Nashta Drishamesha Purana Arka Adhuna Uditaha. After your disappearance, my Lord, where has dharma taken shelter? It has taken shelter in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the whole mankind will find solace from it. This is all mentioned in the first canto. And I think this chapter is where the Lord is disappearing. So he appears in the book form. Then, for Sri Murti Sevaya, he is appearing in the Archa Vigraha form. Here is Lord Krishna. Right? And then, he also manifests himself as the holy dham. Sri Sri Vrindavan, Sri Ram Mayapur, he is manifesting. So, the Lord, to protect our devotional life, he is facilitating us to follow the principles of the tenets of devotional service as enunciated by the acharyas. So, he fulfills many purposes. Paritranaya sadhuna. Again, for vinashayata duskritam, to annihilate the miscreants, again he can take many leela avataras. We discussed Lord Narsingadev is one example of that. Then dharma samsthapanarthaya, to establish the principles of religion, and that those principles are based on different levels of advancement of people. The Lord comes as literary incarnation. He comes himself, or he comes as one of his part and parcels or expansions or whatever. For example, Lord Kapila gave the Sankhya philosophy. Unless one can differentiate between matter and spirit, there is no question of cultivating detachment from matter. As long as the Rolls Royce car looks attractive to me, and I leave my consciousness thinking of, you know, what will happen to my car, right? Then there is no question of going back to the spiritual world. So Srila Prabhupada said, what is Rolls Royce car? When press reporter asked him, Prabhupada, you are coming in Rolls Royce. Prabhupada said, what is that? There is tin and rubber in it. What's the big deal in Rolls Royce car, right? For the spiritual master, they should send golden chariot. That is the standard, he said. So because we cannot understand the higher, even matter we cannot understand in its high form. You know, we are very happy with plastic, right? Plastic age, not even iron age now. We are very happy with plastic, right? So we cannot understand even beyond anything beyond plastic. We are happy with that opulence. So what to speak of understanding this spiritual opulence, right? So he incarnates as Lord Kapila to give us detachment from matter. Clearly, Lord Kapila differentiates matter and spirit. Hridaya Granthi Abhedana. Untying the knot of material attachment from our hearts. Then he also appears as the literary incarnation, Srila Vyasdev, to give us knowledge on dharma, artha, kama, moksha. And then he also manifests as the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Nirmat Saranam for the non-envious, Paramahamsa Samhita, which is beyond dharma, artha and kama, moksha, which talks about pure bhakti, like that. So the Lord, so this is the next characteristic, that the Lord fulfills many purposes from his appearance and disappearance. And finally, the final characteristic is the Lord's, as much as the Lord's appearance is transcendental and paranormal, his disappearance is also paranormal. It is not normal. For example, His Holiness Devamrita Swami was very nicely mentioning the other day that, just imagine, people are thinking that Lord Krishna died because some hunter shot an arrow which pierced his toe. Now how absurd can that be, you know, in one sense? That Lord who controls the Sudarshan Chakra, you know, he is dead because some remnants of some metal which was not ground, you know, was left and some arrow was put by some hunter. So he says that, but the Lord can do it to bewilder the Mayavadis. He can do that. He said, if you want to believe I am an ordinary personality, yes, please quote this incident and consider as, but stay away from the spiritual world. Enjoy the impersonal aspect and think that you are God. So, his disappearance is also paranormal. If you see Lord Chaitanya's disappearance, again, that is also not normal. Merging into the Tota Gopinath. Or Lord Nityananda, merging into the Bankim Raya. Like that. So, all this is extraordinary. So, that is the first theme of today's session. The Lord's appearance and disappearance. The five characteristics. Aja, Swarat, Nityam, Divyam, fulfills many purposes and is paranormal. Now, coming back to the second theme of the topic. What is the chapter called as? The Pandavas retire timely. Okay. So, Prabhupada is writing here that the effect of constantly meditating on the appearance and disappearance of the Lord, what is the effect of that? The effect of that is to develop virakti. What is virakti? Detachment. So, here we see in this chapter that constantly the Pandavas have been not only in the physical presence of the Lord, Duryodhana was also in the physical presence of the Lord, right? But more importantly, the Pandavas have been hearing from the Lord all the time. In fact, in the earlier verses, if you read, Arjuna is saying that I have developed this detachment by aligning with the messages of Bhagavad Gita, which the Lord spoke to me. That's what he says, the earlier sections. So, hearing the messages of the God and witnessing his transcendental nature of his appearance and disappearance. Again, Duryodhana also witnessed all these things. But Duryodhana could not understand the transcendental nature of it. Right? Because his bhakti was not anukul, not favorable. Because his mood was pratikul, unfavorable towards the Lord. So with anukul bhakti, then if we understand the nature of his pastimes, then we can develop virakti or detachment. It must lead to indifference in this world. That is the whole idea of hearing the Lord's pastimes. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, chapter 5, text 13, there is a very nice verse which says, Shashraddhana vivardhamana virattim anyatra karoti pumsam hare pada anusmriti nirvritasya samasta dukkha apyayam asudhate. It means that for one who is always anxious to engage constantly in hearing such topics, which topics? The appearance and disappearance of the Lord. What happens to such a person? Such Krishna Katha gradually increases that person's indifference to this material world. Right? Such constant remembrance of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna by the devotee who has achieved transcendental bliss vanquishes all his miseries. First it creates indifference, and because it creates indifference, it vanquishes all miseries of such a person without delay. Samasta dukkha apyayam asudhatte. Asu means very fast. So devotional service, meditating on the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, cultivates such difference without delay. So that's what has happened. Constantly hearing from the Lord, understanding the transcendental nature of the appearance and disappearance of the Lord, the Pandavas without delay have developed that indifference. And therefore the chapter is not titled The Pandavas Retire. What is the chapter titled as? The Pandavas Retire Timely. Right. So in the right time that indifference has manifested. So we see the Pandavas along with Queen Kunti demonstrating this virakti one by one, and they have decided to retire timely. Now this is a common topic especially amongst Grihasthas. Prabhuji, I feel like running away from my job. Every day morning, the boss's face on Monday, and now fortunately Tuesday this week.
right? What to do? I feel like running away. Just want to go and be in Mayapur Dham. No targets. No fear of unemployment. No retrenchment fear. Job is there. Like that, right? What to do with mortgage? I have purchased one property here. And I have purchased another investment property somewhere. What will happen to that? Oh my Lord, I can't chant. Whenever I am saying Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, the property prices are killing me, my dear brother. I am not able to meditate on you. Oh my Lord, please increase the property market so that I can sell it and retire and go to Mayapur. Like that. I made mistake, my Lord. I was so greedy. I thought I will own 10 properties and then retire. But the properties are now making me not retire. Because you have done something in this material world. Very unpredictable. Right? So therefore, most of us do not understand how to see the principle of retirement in life. When to retire and when not to retire is a question all of us have. And whether a devotee or a non-devotee, both have this question. Right? The question is, how do non-devotees take this decision and how should devotees take this decision? How do non-devotees take a retirement decision? So there are three aspects which I would like to point out how non-devotees take retirement decision. And this doesn't mean devotees don't do this. There is a devotee inside us and there is a non-devotee also inside us. Because we are not pure devotees. To the extent we are not pure devotees, we are non-devotees in that sense. Right? Ye yatha mam prapadyante. To the extent we have not surrendered, to that extent we are non-devotees. So how these decisions are taken? So the first one is decisions on retirement which are taken on the basis of excessive attachment to gross sense gratification or excessive attachment to relaxation. This is one dimension of taking retirement decision. So it's not uncommon to think that let me accumulate enough assets in my life first of all. Prabhuji, what should be the bank balance to retire? How many properties should we have? Like that. A car. Because after retirement we should not struggle to buy a car. Right? So how much property I should accumulate to become independent? This is one. I was hearing one lecture of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj where he says in the West there is a famous saying, life begins at 50. Life begins at 50. Maharaj was quoting this. And it was wonderful because just few days back in the elevator, I heard two people conversing because my office is in the 21st floor in Collins Street. So I hear lot of Krishna Katha, not Krishna Katha, sorry. I hear a lot of Gramya Katha, you know, in the elevator. In that short moment, people, how was the weekend? Oh, good. How's it going? Yeah, who won? Maria Sharapova. Oh, who do you think should have won? I think that person should have. Oh, it was so, oh, beautiful. Ah, next floor, next person conversation. Right? So I hear a lot of this in the morning. So one fellow, he was asking, hey mate, what happened? Oh, I've been laid off. Oh, that's sad. Oh no, it's wonderful. What are you going to do? I have this property in Great Ocean Road. It was my dream to do surfing all my life. I bought beautiful surfboards. And my mortgage is also almost paid for that property which I purchased in Great Ocean Road 25 years back, thinking that after retirement I'll be spending my life surfing over there. And so he's very happy. I'm going to be doing that, right? So surfboard or skateboard, whatever you call that as. Okay? So this is the idea. So life begins after 50, right? So people think that retirement means it's all based on prudent financial investments that you do in life. If you do that, you've got the equation right. Then you can retire and live happily ever after. In India, we have got different concept. They don't buy skateboards first. Because in India, people also don't know how to enjoy. Right? In India, we believe in hard work. Right? We don't believe in enjoying that. Just hard work is enough. My son is working very hard. Oh, is it? Very good. Like that. He's become a big man. Working very hard. Like that. Wife also is very proud. எங்க ஆத்துக்கார் வீட்டுக்கே வரமாட்டேங்கிறாங்க. My husband is such a busy man. Office la vidave matengara. They don't even leave him from office.
Such a person's wife I am.
You know. So that you know how prestigious it is. Prestige. So busy. He doesn't have time to do anything. Temple and all, he says, oh, I'm so busy. And we are proud. So busy. So this is one aspect. This is India. Enjoyment in India. That's the work itself is good. And Krishna is very, oh, you can work more work, no problem. Work 16 hours a day. Enjoy. Join the software technology park and work. And let that be your enjoyment in life. And die like a donkey. After that. After 650, diabetes, sugar, hypertension will come. Right?
And then you'll say, my God, I wasted my whole life.
Or the concept, another concept of retirement. This is, you know, some of my relatives, you know, my mother tells me, I ask her, how are your brothers doing? Sometimes I just, I also like to do some prajalpa with my mother. Atira bhai log kya kar raha aapka? So, my mother says that, you know, I asked mama, what retirement? He says, ha, first class, saukhya marga retirement la, first class, maja aa raha hai, you know, I'm enjoying my retirement. You know, what you're doing? Oh, just watching television with tea and biscuits in the morning. Right? Come in the sofa, brush, and then come and sit. No, no, he does puja also in the morning. He finishes his Ganpati puja. He goes to the Ganesh temple and makes some 50 circumambulations of Lord Ganesh and then comes home and then the TV awaits him. Sun TV, the thing comes. One program after the other. Just go on surfing. And if that programs are boring, then, you know, fortunately we have different versions of cricket matches also today. We have T20, we have one day. For the technically interested, we have 5-day cricket. So many things to keep you happy. So retirement, wonderful. I'm enjoying my life. Son has settled down somewhere. He's vice president of some company. And everything is pakka. Perfect arrangement. This is the problem, right? So this is concept of retirement. Stemming from excessive attachment to sense gratification or relaxation. And these are habits which are carried on from professional days. So, if any one of us wants to think about retirement and what we will do, just go back and ask yourself a simple question. What do I do on current Saturdays and Sundays? Whatever you do now, you will continue to do at retirement. Just because you get a sack letter. What is that? Sacking letter from your office. Or you decide, you know, company says now you have attained superannuation. Doesn't mean Lord Krishna will come at the entrance. Once you swipe your last card out of your office, Krishna is waiting in the 400 form. Saying that, my dear, come on, enough of National Australia Bank now. I've been waiting for you to come out of 21st floor. Now please come, the golden chariot is waiting for you. No, it doesn't work like that. Neither will we say that, oh my Lord, I have developed Krishna Bhakti after swiping the last card out of my office. No, it will not happen like that. Whatever we do now in our weekends, so we will do in our retirements. So we have to just analyze, how do we spend our weekends nowadays? Are we constantly thirsting? What service do I do? Or we say, oh, no, little bit of relaxation should also be there. At the end of the day, look, I am coming for Mangalarti. Look, I am chanting 16 rounds. Look, I am already doing Bhakti Shastri course. Some relaxation also should be there. Some enjoyment should be there. Maybe cherry picking or going to, what is that, Williams? What is that place? Huh? Lake entrance. Yeah. So like that, you know. So the mind will always give suggestions. Let's go here, there, you know, let's go to the Gold Coast. So same tendency will also be there in Mayapur. Suddenly, you know, just chanting Hare Krishna, thinking about a spiritual world, suddenly the mind will say, how nice that Gold Coast was. Oh Lord, I'm in Mayapur now. Sometimes we should just visit the Gold Coast also. No? Same buddhi will go there also. Nothing different is going to happen, right? So that virakti has to be cultivated right now. It is a preparation for the future. The second aspect, how non-devotees think is, retirement stemming from false ego or attachment to prestige. I mentioned it a little bit before also. Like, you know, in we were invited for a program in this very week, and our Ganeshekar Prabhu, he arranged very nicely, Damodar Prabhu, he arranged for a program to address people in the was it Western suburbs? West is what? This side. Western suburbs. People were celebrating Ganesh Chaturthi. Ganpati, Bappa, Moriya, you know, the famous song they were singing. And then we went there to give class. So in the class, we asked people, what is the goal of life? There was a huge set of people there. What is the goal of life? So one lady raised the hand. The goal of life
is to excel in one's profession. I said, well, is that your goal? Okay, what are you? Doctor. I want to be the best doctor. And I want to be remembered always. How many of you remember the world's best doctor? Anyone here who knows the name of the world's best doctor? Nobody knows. So how is someone going to remember her as the world's best doctor? I can't remember the world's best doctor, I can tell you very honestly. Now the Grand Slam is going on. How many people will remember who came runners up in the Grand Slam? There's only one winner, and to that too for some time people will remember. That day I was struggling to remember the name of Steffi Graf. I was thinking, that lady. I'll say Steffi Graf, yes. And at some point in time, the whole goal of Steffi Graf was that people should remember my name always. I should become the best tennis player in the world. But I was also struggling to remember who that was, Steffi something like that. So this is the nature of our name in the material world. No matter how popular we become, we'll be forgotten by time. So any attachment to false prestige, if that is the basis of our retirement, we will never retire. One of my cousins, my mother, you know, he was telling my mother, I'm fed up. He said in Tamil, I feel like running away somewhere, you know. So my mother said, why don't you retire? He is already now in his 60s. And he was CEO of a company in Indonesia. Very, very big, lot of achievements in his life, right? But now even, and his children are also well settled. Daughter is doing so well. He studied in some American university. Son also studied in an American university, Purdue University, which is not bad, right? You study from Purdue, then obviously he is also doing very well. So everything is pakka in his life. But still he is continuing to work. He has got a small job in an Indian company and now he is working there, day and night. And he is saying, so much stress. He has got sugar, diabetes, hypertension, everything. But no. Why? Because he is saying, if I retire, who will come for my daughter's wedding? Just for that reception. That one attachment is in the wedding reception. He wants the people to come, you know, big personalities to come, who he knows. You know? Because if you are retired, maybe those personalities will not come. You know, in Hindi they call Abito Lukhai, Vela Beta, either man. Retired man, puts no work, no prestige. So why I should come for a daughter's wedding? What's your visiting card? What's your designation in your visiting card? Do you have any credentials for me, who is still working, to come to your daughter's wedding? This is actual culture in India. Don't be surprised. It may not exist in the West, but this is how it is. So he is not retiring. And now daughter is also married. Now he is working because son's marriage is there. And the son, he is working in an NGO now, after all this education. He is saying, I think he has got some sudden realization now. Right? Now God forbid the son remains brahmachari, he will get heart attack there. Right? So, retirement decisions based on false ego and too much attached to the prestige that job brings. Because you are identifying yourself with the job. Can you move a little bit forward? There are some gentlemen outside who are wanting to come inside. Just moving. Thank you. So this is called as Dhritarashtra consciousness. Even Dhritarashtra was sitting like a shameless fellow, eating the remnants what Pandavas were offering him. And who had to come? His spiritual master Vidura had to come and say, enough! All your 100 children are gone now. And you are sitting and eating the remnants of the food which is being cooked by the people who kill your children. How shameless can you get? And he tells, now you come. And then Vidura had to be literally pulled by harsh words. But here, a spiritually realized person doesn't need harsh words. Just separation from Krishna is enough for them to retire. The third aspect of retirement, based on, you know, what the non-devotees follow, are retirement that's stemming from excessive attachment to one's family. Rather non-retirement, because of excessive attachment to one's family. If you ask some people, like for example in our Saturday feast class, 2-3 weeks back I was talking, and I asked people, what is your idea of duty in life? So there were various theories. Mostly, you know, Saturday is full of, you know, Indians, and Sunday is a lot of Westerners also come. But in Saturday, when you ask this question, you'll get typical answers which are Indian in nature, like that. What is your idea of duty? Duty is, my son should be well educated. Then he must be very well established in a job. And he must get nice wife. After that what? After that, my grandson must be well educated. My grandson should get nice wife. Then he must have a good job. After that what? My great grandson. And the story goes on like that. And then where does your duty end then? There is no end to duty. Because I am affiliating my duty, I think it is my responsibility, and I am going to continue eternally and observe all these people. Right? So no idea of that. So And some people, of course, say retirement means completion of familial responsibilities. Some people are like this, more realistic. Once my son settles down, then I will retire. That's all. End of life. So this is going on. So they have no idea of what real duty is. What is real duty? Savaya pumsam paro dharma yato bhakshir bhaktir adokshade ahaituki apratihata yayatma suprisadati. So our occupation, whatever we do, ultimately it has to lead to attraction for the personality of Godhead. Not at more and more attraction for family. Right? So these are three issues which prevent people from taking retirement in this world. Now how should devotees plan for retirement? What should we base our decisions on? So there are three aspects to our retirement as devotees. First is study of the Shastras. Our retirement has got two aspects. Knowledge and preparedness. Two aspects are there. Simply knowledge is not enough. Preparedness is also there. And that preparedness for retirement takes a long, long time. It doesn't come like that. Right? Very, very rarely it comes. Prabhuji, I have read Srimad Bhagavatam, now I am joining Brahmacharya Ashram. It doesn't come like that. It takes some time. There are very few Johnny Prabhus in this world. Or Harinamanand Prabhus. Virakti does, and of course, same for the Brahmacharinis as well. Very few people can take such an advanced decision early in their life. At least I don't have the capability. I can admit in front of all of you very honestly. So there is knowledge and preparedness. So for a grihastha like me, I need time to prepare myself for retirement. Prepare what? Not finances. Prepare my consciousness. Finances is never enough. Right? Murali Prabhu, our Muralidhar Prabhu, he taught me many years back. Happiness is an equation. Number of desires fulfilled divided by number of desires. So either you attack the numerator or you attack the denominator. You go on attacking the numerator, fulfillment of desires, there is no end to it. So you better attack the denominator. Reduce your desires. Have a simple life. Simplify your life. And that simplifying life will not happen in one day. No, you cannot say, okay, I will remove my Armani glasses and now I will buy 20 rupees glasses. Or I will just walk like that. No, it will not happen like that. Our attachment, too many attachment is there to our suit, right? To our house. So gradually it has to go by devotion. That virakti. And that virakti will come only by constantly hearing the pastimes of the Lord. It's a lifetime sadhana. It doesn't come in one moment. So our retirement must be based on knowledge of the Shastras. And based on that knowledge, we must prepare ourselves. The Shastras, for example, give the 25, 25, 25, 25 principle. What is that principle? First 25 years, what is that? Brahmachari. Second 25 years, Grihastha. Then at 50, then Vanaprastha. And 75, there is Sannyas. Somebody asked His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, no? Like that. Maharaj, but lifespan in Kali Yuga is 60 only. So what to do? So there is only, then is it, then it becomes, as per that, what does it become? You should have already retired by now. So Maharaj said that when you decided on marriage, you didn't think that. After marriage, why you are asking this question? Right? So because you married late, now you cannot say, now, you know, I will reduce my grihastha, I will marry, and then I will retire. Sorry, Vanaprastha in 5 years. You can't do that. Just because you didn't, you married late. Right? So Maharaj was giving him that. So then you don't quote the Shastras after that. So, Shastras, yes, they are giving us a guideline, but there is always a practical aspect to it also. How to implement a Shastra is also, you know, requires practical guidance. So sometimes you have to take the essence what the Shastra says. What is the essence of the 25-25 principle? That we must cultivate detachment from family life. Even within Grihastha life, that detachment from family has to be cultivated over a period of time. Study of Srimad Bhagavatam. As I said, Krishna Swadhama Upagate Dharma Jnana Dibhisanati. Well, after the Lord has left for the spiritual world, He has given the principles of renunciation in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, there are umpteen examples which will inspire us. For example, Maharaj Prithu's pastimes, which he was mentioning me this morning. Maharaj Prithu, he was the emperor. He had everything going good for him. But when the time came to retire, immediately he distributed all his wealth to the society, to his friends. Just like Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami also did the same thing. Timely retirement. And then he went to the forest, and in the forest he performed great austerities. You know, like sitting in the cold water in winter, or, you know, sitting under the hot spring in summer. He did all these things to control his senses. Abstaining from sex life with wife. So many things he did. And at the end of the day, he meditated on the Supreme Personality of Godhead and left his body. And his wife, there is a fire which was lit. And then his wife entered the same fire where husband was. So this is Vedic culture at its highest. Right? So by constantly reading Srimad Bhagavatam, we will at least get an iota of that understanding. At least we cannot probably dip inside cold water in the winter season, right? Or live without a heater in Grihastha Ashram, right? But at least some virakti we will develop by that. In fact, premature retirement, many devotees sometimes say that, oh, I am going to go and get away from active life and then go and retire in Vrindavan or Mayapur. Very prematurely. Before the intense desire for Krishna consciousness has come, people take such decisions. Now again, Muralidhar Prabhu, our own Muralidhar Prabhu, he gave me a very nice example many years back. He said, if a glass is there, how much water can you pour into the glass? To the extent the glass is empty, to that extent you can pour water. Correct? If the glass is already full, can you pour water? No, because it will spill over. So this example stayed with me always. Even today, when I think about it, it's a very nice example. So he said that one has to assess when to retire by observing your glass of spiritual life. If your glass of spiritual life is completely full, which it will never be in one sense, but metaphorically, if your glass of spiritual life is completely full, then Maya cannot come and sit inside that glass. But to the extent our glass is empty, to that extent we are always at a risk that Maya will enter. That glass in one sense is analogous to the time that we have in a day. If we have free time, then what will happen? It's only during free time that the mind thinks of sense gratification. Too much of free time and internet availability, the mind will think, let me watch some pornography now. Right? That is the problem. The whole idea of pornography is because of free time. You don't know what to do with your time, you are bored. So you want something titillating and exciting for the senses. So let us observe like that. So unless that glass is full of Krishna consciousness, unless we develop that enthusiasm and forcefully engage our time in activity, activity, activity in Krishna consciousness with, of course, healthy time for relaxation. Because Krishna says, too much of endeavor also is not good. Right? Devotee must have some relaxation time. But expend those extra energy in exercising or sports, whatever leisure time we have, right? Or just get out of the house. So, packing our life with sadhana, with temple-related services, with preaching activities, it has to be full. Otherwise, the mind will go to the internet or mind will go to mundane pursuits like watching television, news show, talk show. All these things are because we have more time than what we need. We have to pack our day. So, premature renunciation. Unless we have learnt how to pack our day in this manner and we have actually developed an intense desire to do service to the Lord, then premature renunciation is a disturbance to society. We will go and carry on our same things in Mayapur also. If we are into the habit of blaspheming devotees here, then we will carry the same mentality and do it in Mayapur also. If we want to say, why the temple is like this, why temple president is like this, why that devotee is like this, the same prajalpa, what we will instead of doing in the courtyard of Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir, we will do in the courtyard of Mayapur Mandir or Vrindavan temple. The attitude is the same, the activity is the same, there is no change. So therefore we have to really assess that when we take a decision to retire to the Holy Dham. Are we ready for it? Better to continue laudably in professional life, accept our material conditioning and still try to pack our time and develop that virakti rather than prematurely retiring. Also, just simply reading the shastras, and I'll just end in 5 minutes now. Just reading the shastras is also not important. We have to understand the shastra in the right perspective. For example, the shastras sometimes say that a person who has developed devotional service, he does not owe anything to his relatives. Right? We read that in the shastras. But what will happen, because we have not understood that, or we are understanding that principle through the mouths of a devotee who is not very well advanced, then we may think it means we can deal in any way with our relatives. Because ultimately somebody told us that no, you are a devotee, no, you can deal any way with your relatives. Right? Because shastras say that you should be detached. Why? Because we are not
taking such instructions from a person who is realized. We are taking such instructions from a person who may be half realized. Right? So, this retirement, we must, the principles which are enunciated in the Shastras, one must understand it through the mouth of spiritual master. So, not only the Shastras, but the second step is to take guidance from the spiritual master on how to implement whatever I have mentioned in the Shastras. Otherwise, we can do a completely wrong implementation of whatever is mentioned there. And the third aspect is to practically apply. Not just go to Guru Maharaj and say, Guru Maharaj, please give me your blessings. Please give me the dust of your lotus feet, the shelter of the shade of your whatever. You know, just not mentioning all these things. Guru Maharaj, what do you think I should do next? Something practical. Kuch karo. Do something on that basis. Right? Otherwise, it just becomes sentiment and just showing off to Guru Maharaj how nice person I am. Like that. So it is, sometimes you don't need even to be in the presence of spiritual master. Sometimes when spiritual master comes, we are seeing a rush to be in front of him. Maharaj has come, let me be in front of Maharaj like that. Maharaj, Ribol, Maharaj, like that. See me, please see me, I'm there, please see me, recognize me. No, it is not enough, it is not required to be in front of spiritual master. The message of spiritual master, if we take personally, it is personal instruction. Otherwise, if you go personally to spiritual master and still gives you an instruction and you say it was for other people, then it still doesn't become our personal instruction. Right? It is when Maharaj is sitting on the Vyasasan, in crores of people, thousands of people are sitting, he says, Trinadapi Sunichena Taro Riva Sarishnuna Amani Namanajena Kirtaniya Sadihari, be humbler than a blade of grass. If we think, see Maharaj, how he is telling for all of you, you people should become very humble, more like a blade of grass. If we think like that, then there is no instruction. Whether Maharaj gives personally this instruction in a room or gives in the class. But even out of those 5,000 people, whatever Maharaj speaks, if we say that, no, he's speaking for me, then that becomes a personal instruction. In that sense, there is no need to be in the physical presence of Maharaj. How many times was Srila Prabhupada in the presence of Maharaj? Raj Krishna Prabhu is here. Can you have association, Vapu association of Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj? No. It is not required. We have to understand the mood of our spiritual master and simply struggle to cultivate that mood. Yes, it is a struggle. We understand that. We will struggle. We will fail. I am failing. I am a failure when it comes to obeying the instructions of a spiritual master. But I don't need any more instructions. I don't need to go in front of Maharaj and pay dandavat and say, Maharaj, can you give me some personal instructions? Not required. He is giving us instructions. Just follow that. So that struggle, we have to continue in our life. So we have to practically apply that principle. Now if Maharaj tells something and we cannot understand, then we can go to our counselor or our mentor and ask them, who is more realized than us, Maharaj has given this instruction, how should I apply it now? Yesterday, I was in a conversation with one of, a very nice devotee in Melbourne, and he was telling me, Prabhu, Maharaj has given me this instruction, I am struggling to follow it, how should I follow? This was a very beautiful question, very genuine, sincere question, like that. So this is the way, and it was a learning for me, I should also ask that question. He asked me, but not, I should not feel proud that he asked me. In fact, I should learn from him that this is how I should also behave. I should also go to some senior devotee and ask when I am having a struggle. Dadati pratigranati guhyam akhyati prachati. So the third aspect for timely retirement is not only read the Shastras, but prepare ourselves throughout our lifetime to be ready for that. If there is any doubt, go to the spiritual master, get your doubts clarified on how to implement what is given in the Shastras, and then ultimately do something about it. Practical. This is something which is a learning for me. So the Pandavas we see in this section, they have completely assimilated these instructions and they are retiring timely. So that is the essence of this chapter. The appearance and disappearance of the Lord, hearing that, cultivating detachment and applying it and actually doing something about it. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments? Or corrections? Karunanidhi Prabhu? Anything? Yes, Krishna Prabhu? Anything you want to add?
I just remember on the question of retirement that Jaya Advaita Maharaj was saying in South Africa to the devotees that he feels that sometimes the householders in ISKCON feel that I should not become Vanaprastha, I'll just remain Grihastha my whole life. He said that is no problem. We have to cultivate the Vanaprastha ashram also. And he said otherwise it's dangerous, we may not be able to fully surrender to the Lord the way Divine Vanaprastha Ashram can allow to do so, because while one lives in Grihastha Ashram whole life, one may not be able to really become completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness due to the distractions that may be there in living Grihastha life. So he was underlining this point and stressing that the Grihastha should think about it. And he said one very interesting thing that I want to share. He said, the moment you get married, that same moment you have to start planning for retirement for Vanaprastha.
Thank you, Prabhu. Any other points? Mahatabha? So we can see this example also, you know, Shankarshan Das Adhikari and Vishnu Priya Mataji, very classic example. Every time they come here, they inspire us so much, you know, and they lead by example on what is Vanaprastha life. Getting up at 2:30 in the morning, finishing the rounds even before Mangalarati begins, then doing deity worship, then coming and reading Srimad Bhagavatam, then giving the association throughout the day to everyone, preaching, hectic travel. This is ideal Vanaprastha life, exactly as enunciated by Srila Prabhupada, what Grihasthas must do. And giving, yeah.
Evening class.
Evening class.
You give sometimes.
Maharaj is giving. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And another example is Gurujan Prabhu and Jagatari Mataji. What a wonderful, you know, demonstration of how Vanaprastha life should be. So we just hope and pray that we take the dust of their lotus feet and learn something, smear it on our head and in our intelligence and mind, and do something about it in our lives. Thank you very much. Tantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki.